Welcome to Meet the Professor's Breast Cancer Edition. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. We asked three community-based medical oncologists, Dr. Patricia DeFusco from Hartford, Connecticut, Dr. Andrea Stebel from Newport Beach, California, and Dr. Lauren Carcas from Miami, Florida, to present cases from their practice to our faculty members, Dr. Sarah Hurvitz from the UCLA Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center, and Dr. George Sledge from Stanford University School of Medicine. And to begin, Dr. DeFusco presented a patient from her practice.
So she's a 44-year-old woman who at age 41 was originally diagnosed with breast cancer. Interestingly, about 6 months or 7 months before her diagnosis, she had had a bilateral reduction mammoplasty with negative pathology, even on retrospective review at the time of her diagnosis. In January of 2015, so a couple, about 6 months after her reduction, a mammogram showed new areas of post-reduction change and new calcifications in the left breast. And they said that while the calcifications were along the scars and could be fat necrosis, the pleomorphic morphology really bothered the radiologist, and they suggested biopsy. The initial biopsy showed only DCIS, high-grade ER negative, with no definite invasive component. She then underwent a breast MRI, and there was a 1.5-centimeter suspicious enhancing mass at 6 o'clock. An ultrasound confirmed that it looked suspicious, and a biopsy was suggested, but at that point, the patient just elected to proceed with bilateral mastectomy. So the biopsy was not done preoperatively. At the time of surgery in the left breast, she had multifocal invasive ductal cancer with a 4.5-centimeter and a 0.5-centimeter lesion, one in the lower inner quadrant, one in the lower outer quadrant. High grade. She had 6 negative sentinel lymph nodes, so she was staged as a PT2 PN0, and it was ER negative, PR negative, and HER2 3 plus positive. She had staging studies that were done that were negative, and at that point when she presented, it was just after pertuzumab had come out and the NCCN guidelines had changed to suggest that in the adjuvant setting, you could add pertuzumab if the patient would have been eligible for it preoperatively.
Sarah, in summary, you have a patient who's presenting for adjuvant therapy as opposed to a lot of patients who've gotten neoadjuvant therapy. We'll talk about that. How would you think through this patient's risk of recurrence and how it might be affected by today if this patient were presenting by various potential interventions, including chemotrastuzumab, chemopertuzumab, and either one of those followed by neratinib? What kind of numbers would you give for a patient like this?
Well, she is lymph node negative, which is in her favor, and the hormone receptors are not expressed. Lack of hormone receptor expression predicts a higher chance of pathologic complete response, but when you look at long-term disease-free survival, actually it's a slightly lower disease-free survival, so a higher risk of recurrence for patients whose tumors do not express the hormone receptors. So for a lymph node negative 4.5-centimeter tumor, I would estimate somewhere around, with chemotherapy and trastuzumab-based therapy, somewhere around 25% chance, 10-year recurrence rate.
That's coming off what would you consider to be a baseline risk of recurrence?
Baseline risk of recurrence, I'd put more at like 35-40% without trastuzumab. We don't have any numbers for HER2 positive, ER negative, no chemotherapy, no systemic therapy whatsoever. That would be a very high risk of recurrence, but just with chemotherapy alone, without any HER2-targeted therapy, I think a risk of recurrence would be on the order of 35% or so. And so you're bringing it down a fair amount by adding in trastuzumab.
And the patient says to you, I've also heard there's this drug pertuzumab that was a trial just presented. How about if I take that too?
Yes, so the AFFINITY trial did show a statistically significant improvement in the disease-free survival, invasive disease-free survival at around 3.5 years. But the numerical number, the absolute difference, actually was quite small. And that was only on the order of 1.7% difference. So yes, I would discuss it with my patient. However,
would you give her that number or would you refine it down looking more at the relative risk of reduction laid in on her baseline risk?
Yeah, the relative risk of reduction, I think the hazard ratio is about 0.81. So it's around a 20% risk reduction. So yes, I would share those data with her, but when you look at the subgroup analysis, the patients who were deriving the most benefit from the addition of pertuzumab were lymph node positive. So we have to also keep in consideration the additional toxicity with the use of pertuzumab. fair amount of diarrhea is seen, especially when given with chemotherapy, and skin toxicity as well, likely due to the off-target hitting of EGFR.
So just to clarify, so you're saying this patient may be at 25% risk of relapse with chemotrastuzumab. You would say maybe it'd come down a couple percent more with pertuzumab. Then that patient gets out to a year and wants to consider neratinib. She's ER negative. I don't know if you would take that into consideration.